was recently sent to the store to pick up some bread. You know, you would think that'd be an easy thing to do. I got to the store and shuffled around a while, and in a little bit I turned a corner and there it was, the bread aisle. You know, I stood there for a while and I faced a dilemma. Well, what did she mean, pick up some bread? Was that wheat bread? White bread? Sourdough? Rye bread? No, nobody gets rye bread. No, I like it. But was it French bread? How about Hawaiian bread? Or is that there was even something called hillbilly bread? I didn't think I would consider myself as a hillbilly, but I guess I could try it. Then there was some funny breads. They're just trying to fool you there. Pumpernickel. Ciabatta, baguette. What about the gluten-free or the low-carb breads? Wow. I think these makers of these breads are just trying to play with your mind. Not only were there multiple kinds of breads, now I had to consider even if I was going to buy a half loaf of bread. Then I saw it. Wonder bread. Is that even bread, I wondered? It's been some years ago now, but one of the accounts I used to take care of was downtown. It was the downtown community center. It was right across the street from Perfection Bakery. And Sunbeam Bread was baked there, if you remember the sign. I always liked going and working on that roof and smelling the fresh baked bread. Then I got to thinking. I remembered a story where instead of just an aisle of bread, there was a whole town in the Bible whose name meant house of bread. I remembered this little city's name was Bethlehem. Just a little farming village, not much happened there, but I seem to recall that a shepherd boy coming up from that area by the name of David. He grew up to be king and led the children of Israel for some 40 years. But I also recall that in the second chapter of Luke, four times in the first 15 verses, he mentions this town of Bethlehem, the city of David, the house of bread. Baby grew up there, referred to himself as the bread of life, the living bread in his teachings. If there's any food I think that we tend to crave more, it seems to be bread, at least to me. I don't think that's by accident. I think the Lord put that craving for bread, the true bread, so that we would search out the one that nourishes us, the one who satisfies us, the one who sustains us. Nothing can fill like bread. The significance of our craving for bread is not missed by the Lord and our Savior. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus would take bread, bless it, and take, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." He would continue on in his discourse there, and he would say, "Take this cup, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." We partake of these emblems today, the fruit of the vine and the bread of life. There is nothing like bread. In fact, there is nothing like the bread of life. So the next time you find yourself standing in the middle of the bread aisle at the store, Remember the ultimate bread, the one who gives us life and gave his life on behalf of us. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the desire we have to commune with you, to come at this time and to partake of these emblems and remember that sacrifice that's been given on our behalf, that your body was given. You called yourself the bread of life, the sustainer, the one that nourishes us, the one that gives us our strength. We ask as we partake of this bread, as we break it and partake of it, Lord, that we remember the beatings that you went through, and that was all done on our behalf. As we partake of the fruit of the vine, we remember your blood that was born, that was poured out there on Calvary, just freely given for our behalf as well. You didn't have to do it, Lord, but your compassion kept you there, kept you moving towards that time when you would give your life on our behalf. Again, we're thankful for that. Thank you for the desire we have in our hearts to serve you. With your son's name we pray.